Good morning. We're going to pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering this group of women this morning. We love the chance to come together and enjoy godly, good Christian fellowship. May we continue to build good friendships and support each other in any situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My name is Sally Fritcher. Stacy asked me to share my story with you this morning. The first two things you need to know about me are, my mother said I was born talking, and I am a crier. Hopefully, those two things won't get in the way this morning. I was born in Springfield, Illinois. I am the fourth of five children. I was raised on a farm 3 miles outside of the closest small town. Mechanicsburg had a population of 350 people. Growing up in a very small farming community had advantages and disadvantages. The advantage, you knew everyone. The disadvantage, everyone knew you. Trust me when I tell you that my mom knew what I was doing before I did it. The center of that small town was the Mechanicsburg Christian Church. If the church doors were open, my family was there. I attended my first sunrise service when I was 6 months old and didn't miss one until I was in my 20s. I accepted the Lord as my Savior at the age of 10. Lots of family attended that church. My grandmother, aunts, uncles, cousins. My dad was on the church board, a trustee, a deacon, an elder, and an elder emeritus. My mom taught Sunday school, Bible school, and was always organizing something at the church. From ice cream socials to funeral dinners, mom had her hands in everything. They truly taught my siblings and I to have a servant's heart. I grew up with church as a normal part of my life, which included Sunday school, worship, the choir, and youth group. My high school graduating class was one of the largest classes to graduate from Tri-City High School. We were a whopping 57. There were three small towns, and each one had a great school. Once we reached junior high, the three towns came together for 6th through 12th grades in one building. One third of my class started school in first grade with me, and we all graduated together. As a matter of fact, my classmates had siblings that graduated with my siblings and parents that graduated with my parents. I would like to say that I was the perfect student and the perfect child. The answer would be no to both of those. I was a child of the 70s, and that should be enough said. I did some pretty horrible things in my life for sure, and have had to ask forgiveness more times than I want to admit. I started working for the state of Illinois 3 days after I graduated from high school at the age of 17. I did not go to college. And I retired from there after 34 years. I was 51 years old when I retired. I met my first husband when I started working for the state. I fell in love and we were married within a year. I was 18 years old. He had a different religion than me, but because I thought it was so important to go to church together, I gave up my church and joined his, only to find out he was not an active member, like I thought that he was. I tried to attend this new church by myself, but it just didn't feel right to me, so I quit going altogether. If he didn't need to go, then neither did I. And as you guessed, I was wrong. He was not the person I thought he was, and as I started to see a violent side of him, I knew one of two things had to happen. I either had to get out, or my dad would have had to put him in his place. So we divorced after 2.5 years of marriage. I met my current husband, Bill, not long after I was divorced, and we were married fairly quickly. We will celebrate our 46th anniversary in January. I had drifted away from God and needed to make my way back. I started attending my old church again, and it was good. I taught Sunday school, Bible school, and led the kids' music. Bill was God-fearing, but just didn't attend church with me. After being married a few years, we decided it was time to start a family. But it just wasn't happening for us. Numerous doctor's visits, procedures, and medicines just didn't help. I found myself drowning in depression. I just couldn't understand why it wasn't working for us. And trust me, if I had to hear one more person say to me, "Oh, you just need to stop practicing," I was going to scream. I hated all pregnant women, and I couldn't stand seeing little babies. As a matter of fact, I had a 16-year-old niece, two sister-in-laws, and a cousin all pregnant at the same time. I didn't want to be around them, and I sure didn't want to see their babies. All I could think about was I was being punished for leaving the Lord and the church for a while. After 9 years, we were told that it wasn't in the cards for us. As heartbreaking as those words were, it was somewhat of a closure of that chapter. We still wanted a family and decided to apply for adoption. We sent in the applications and all the letters and everything we needed to get us on a list to adopt internationally. We applied to Korea. Everything was so slow. And once again, I was so depressed. My birthday is October 10th, and my 30th was my absolute worst. I wasn't a mom, and so many of my family and friends had two kids by now. In November of that year, we were contacted that we would be the parents of a baby boy born in Seoul. And you know what? He was born on October 9th. One day before my 30th birthday. So I was a mom at 29. I just didn't know it yet. My faith in God truly changed at that moment. He had a plan for us all along. And like so many other times in my life, I lost my faith and didn't wait on God's plan. Our son came to us and completed our family. Like most couples, we ran into some trouble in our marriage. Alex was our foster child for a year. After that year, then we could apply for permanent adoption. And I'll just say this, it was very stressful that year, making sure, because we had home visits and making sure that everything, you know, was going to go okay. The day before we went to court to adopt him, Bill and I went through a very tough time in our marriage. I had to call the attorney and get a continuance for the adoption procedure. In my mind, I was petrified they would come and take our son away from us. I even had an escape plan to take him away if needed. And once again, God came to the rescue. He helped us get through that tough obstacle and blessed the adoption when it became final. It made us stronger as a family, for sure. Our son got in a little trouble in school, and I told my husband we needed to attend church as a family. His response, "Find a church I will like. Your church is okay, but the music is boring and I don't get much out of it." My heart was so heavy to seek a church after attending the same church for years. But I went on a mission. Actually, I was attending my home church to teach Sunday school and then attending other churches to find him the perfect church. We ended up at a local church in our community for a Saturday evening service. His comment after attending the first time, "Why have you been hiding that church from me?" We started attending there regularly. My heart was happy and sad at the same time. I had attended the other family church all my life, and I felt as though I was cheating on it. So I had to talk to my parents about it. After telling them we had been going to this other church, my mom looked at me and said, "It is very important for you to attend church with your husband. And if you are going to go there, you need to move your membership, you need to be active, and you need to be a part of that church." Wow. With that blessing, we started attending regularly, moved our membership, and found a wonderful church family. Another part of my life that was very difficult for me was when my younger brother was arrested, tried, and convicted of a horrible crime. It wasn't murder, but it was ugly. He lived in a different state. Needless to say, my parents, along with my family, was devastated. News would travel fast in that small town, but we were determined to keep it quiet and a family matter only. He used alcohol and drugs heavily at that time. He would call my parents and yell at them, saying the most awful things you can imagine. They were crushed and so deeply hurt by him. Why didn't they sell everything to help him, he would ask. The other things he said, I refuse to repeat. He remained incarcerated for 12 years. During that time, both of my parents had passed away. I wrote him letters and sent him money to buy supplies in prison. Not that I wanted to, but I made a promise to my mom. As a matter of fact, I told myself I would never forgive him for the way he treated my parents. When he was released, he went back to the town where he previously lived. He was a house painter and did remodel work. My sister lived close by and helped him get situated in a place to live and bought him a few tools. He went to the town paint store to get a few things. The owner saw him walk in and said, "Sam, where have you been?" To which my brother answered, "In prison." The store owner looked at him, he never missed a beat, and said, "Well, I may have a few jobs for you to do. Let me try to get you connected." That man never judged my brother at all, but chose to help him. And it was at that time that I made the decision to forgive him. Not just a passing forgiveness, but a deep down in your gut forgiveness. He paid his price to society, and through intensive 12-step programs, he was starting over with a new chance and a renewed relationship with God. I can only tell you that that kind of forgiveness is freeing. It was a very, very tearful reunion when I saw him a few years after that. Jesus said to forgive 70 times 7. I think I have at least one of those under my belt. Fast forward to 6 years ago. We were introduced to Sebring through my sister and her husband, who had been wintering here. After our first visit, we decided to join the snowbird migration, and we bought a place in Spring Lake. 3 winters we drove back and forth to enjoy this beautiful winter weather. The cold winter weather and the fact our beloved state of Illinois was heading in a direction that we did not agree with, we made the decision to move here permanently. I had only lived in the same county all my life, a 15-mile radius of where I was born, raised, went to school, worked, raised a family, and retired. Leaving family, friends, and a church family we loved was not easy. But God orchestrated selling our house of 33 years and buying a house here very simple. Everything just fell right into place. But when I met our new neighbors, I knew this is where God wanted me to be. The ladies next door are 86 years old, and they're twins. They moved in together when their husbands died. My name is Sally Sue. Guess what their names are? Sally and Sue. I knew it was the right place to be. I mean, seriously, what are the odds of that? Once we got settled in, my husband said, find us a church. So on a mission I went. The first one I attended, everyone welcomed me. They were so friendly. Everyone spoke that morning, but I was the youngest one there. There were no kids. My mom always said, a crying baby and little voices in church are the future of the church. I went back a second time, but the pastor said something from the pulpit that just didn't sit right with me. So the next week, I tried another one. Lots of people and lots of little kids, but only one person spoke to me that morning, and it was a very nice young lady who said she liked my shoes. The next week, I attended Bible fellowship. First of all, people were very friendly and smiled and gave me a cheerful hello. The music was familiar, the prayers were heartfelt, and preaching directly from the Bible was very special to me. I cried like a baby through the whole service. I knew at that moment that God had led me to this church for a reason. We formed a little pew family, and we got to know the people who were sitting in their assigned seats with us every week. I sat for a few months observing. And on the screen, before service one Sunday, I saw a little illustration about getting involved in prayer, and the cartoon girl's name was Sally. God is never shy when he wants to get our attention. So when I noticed they needed helpers at Bible school, I decided to volunteer and prayed it would be a good fit. I was in charge of snacks at the Bible school back home. I asked where help was needed behind the scenes, and guess where they placed me? In the kitchen with Miss Elaine working on snacks. I met the nicest women in that kitchen, and my church family grew a little more. I met Stacy at Bible school, and when I noticed she had a Bible study group, I thought I would go and see what it was like. Once again, my church family grew a little more by getting to know some wonderful sisters in Christ in that group. And now here I am sharing my story to you women who will expand my church family just a little bit more. As you can see, even though I was in some pretty dark places in my life, relearning to trust God's plan was the hardest and yet the most rewarding. I have two verses I'd like to share with you this morning. The first one is on my refrigerator, and when I don't know what to pray, I always recite it. Isaiah 41:13, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. It is comforting to know that in those times of trouble and depression that God was holding my hand. The other verses are from Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But who can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. To me, this best describes the fellowship with other sisters in Christ. Women supporting women. And in my heart, I feel that I have found this fellowship here with all of you. Thank you.